Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Number two of our Saturday morning extravaganza. Parker Kelly producing back at the 94.9 studio. It is going to be a Hilltopper takeover this hour. Scott Couch, long time Fox 17 news anchor, long time, 2007, coming up on 20 years, as a matter of fact. Scott, hey, bud, what's going on, man?
Man, good to see you. I don't get up this early on Saturday morning with clothes on for a whole lot of folks.
Come on, now.
Well, I don't want to. Well, I don't want to offend everybody all at once, so I got dressed.
Thank you for
or
that.
I put some shorts on.
Thank you for that and everything.
How good to be here. This place is cool. You know, I've seen it on television. I've not been to Roy's Meat Service before, but this is cool. I've checked out the, you know, the meats over there. They've got fresh produce. This is, and Greg Pogue.
Yeah, well, Lord. I mean, and I say you can get Wagyu beef over here at $60 a pound, okay? And you can get your night crawlers and mealworms right across the aisle to go down to the river and fish.
Yeah, where can you do that?
Yeah, well, right here
in one place.
How you doing, man?
Good.
Is that your next year, 20 years?
Yes. Been in Nashville about twice that long.
Yeah.
But, cruising in, just crossed the 19th anniversary, so marching toward number 20, Lord willing, knock on something.
What do you get out of it today?
You know, I still have fun. I write every day. People see you on television, and they think that's the main thing. I spend 80% of my time writing. In fact, right before I came on, I tape a political show on Friday night in between newscasts. Right before I talked to you last night, I was just do you remember Lee Elder? You know Lee Elder?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was on the show last night out of Montgomery County. He used to be the Republican Party chairman up there, and I was sending pictures of the show, wrote a web article last night, so I still get to write the old newspaper style. Greg and I went to college together in the interest of complete disclosure, and at Western Kentucky University, got a real first-class
education. I was a little
you were ahead of me.
I applied the waters.
But you were around, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But still like to write, still enjoy being a broadcaster, and I think about that from time to time. Because, you know, when you get a few years on you, and I remember we were both a couple of the fresh faces in this town, and that's been a long time. But still enjoy what I'm doing, and I feel grateful that I still get to do it. And sometimes I think about not doing it, because, you know, you get old enough where you could, and then you think, well, what would I do?
Yeah.
This is my first love, what we're doing right here. If I won the lottery, in fact, I don't know if anybody won. Not that I'm not trying to keep up with that sort of thing, but I know it was like up to almost $1 billion. I thought about buying a ticket.
Well, hold on a minute.
But I didn't.
Let me check. I've got a ticket.
Yes.
You may do the rest of the show by yourself.
By myself. Well, if I won,
yeah,
I would buy myself a radio station.
Yeah.
I would hire people that I love and appreciate who have great talent. I'd pay them because I don't need money. I'm trying, you know, I just won the lottery. Whatever, you know, we made.
What format would you be?
I would be a full-service radio station. I'm a small-town guy.
Uh-huh.
I'd have news on there. I want high school sports, college sports. I listen to some of the football games, you know, when they come on different, stations. I'm still a big consumer of radio. I would have news every hour. I would play great music. I would serve the community like they're supposed to do, like we used to do. I think people would listen.
Yeah.
I'm old-fashioned. Isn't that crazy?
Well, there's a promo that, you know, Bud Walters, as a matter of fact, owns Cromwell, the media group and everything, this station, 102.5, and others, and up into Illinois and everything. He's running a promo right now, and I don't know, Parker, if you could grab it, we'll play the dang thing, where still radio outperforms digital.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, and that. Because I keep banging, you got to do digital. You absolutely have to. I understand that. But it's still the sampling.
It's passive.
It's on.
There. I'm listening. I don't have to work at it. I don't have to go to the website. I don't have to type. It's just on. It's feeding me. I'm hearing music. I'm hearing information. I listen to sports talk. I listen to talk. I listen to music.
Well, can we sample that everywhere we go, too, now with our phone? You can be on, you know, wherever.
Yeah. I'm in the bathroom, and it's playing through my phone on the shower.
See, it's dug in, Scott. Stop.
I'm just saying it's always on. I listen, and it's passively. When I'm cleaning, washing dishes, I'm listening.
Yeah, and it outperforms the digital world, and I did not realize that. I just took for granted, well, that's the way of the world. No, it still has a huge place. I know there's also a push in Congress to
make sure that all new cars have AM radio.
Well, there was a big push to try to get rid of it and a mm-hmm. huge lobby by the radio industry mm-hmm. to keep it.
And Bud Walters, the owner here, was at the front of that.
I get a lot of stuff. You know, you talk about digital. I'm inundated with email like most of us, and I read. So when the young people say something, I know it's not true. Mm-hmm. You know, say, nope, it's like this. I read it. You know, you read the headline. You didn't read the article. And I followed, that whole thing mm-hmm. through Congress. And having been an old radio guy, I thought about this on my way over here. I worked at as many radio stations as I have television stations, and that's four. Love that. And so I always follow that, what my friends are doing, what's happening in the industry, the attacks that are coming, you know, to erode, you know, what we know. And I follow, and I know you do too.
Scott Couch, news anchor, Fox 17 since June of 2007, four-time Emmy winner, dozens of AP awards, very and well respected in the community. How has it TV now and what you do, because there's always fluidity to it. Where is it now?
The only constant is change. There are a lot fewer people involved in the process now. Tons of young folks, and I'll be honest, there's not people clamoring to be in the industry. When I got into the industry from the radio business, it was really cool to be in television. You know, the people that were on television, you know, I could, you know, name names. And they're all people that were kind of, you know, heroes of ours.
Well,
you know?
We grew up. You grew up in Glasgow, right?
Yeah.
Bowling Green, me.
Yes. I'm in Bowling Green more often than you are.
Probably so. But we grew up with that. And
watching Nashville television.
Yes.
That was the goal. That was the gold standard. All those names, and you'd have to be old enough. I mean, I could spew them all out, but I wanted to do that, and there was great prestige to it. People were paying attention to television. One of the few reasons anybody even knows who I am, to the extent anybody does, is because I worked in Nashville television when people were paying attention.
Yeah.
And my average viewer now might catch 1.5 newscasts a week, if I'm lucky. My biggest opportunity to increase my viewership is to get you, who watch me 1.5 times a week, to watch one more newscast.
Right.
So it's a real struggle these days.
Well, how much, though, do you supplement that? You just said with the podcast and the digital, and because you've got to be active on all the social media platforms. You've got to have a constant churn there. That sort of fills the gap, doesn't it?
We have five people working full-time feeding our web.
Yeah.
And on a daily basis, I don't have five reporters on the street these days. We cover a lot of things now, maybe not with a full reporter, where years ago we would have said, all right, we're going to spend 2.5 minutes of that on television. Every station in town is going to do that. Now it's 25 seconds, maybe, 45 seconds. The business has changed. We still do a lot of news. One of the positive things is, in my view, there's a lot more stories that make it on television now than used to. There was a time, and you can remember watching, you'd turn on the news at 6 o'clock, everything waited until 6. Nobody dumped it the minute they got it. Every station in town had this story. The next story often was every station in town had that story. The next story, it's like first four stories, everybody's got the same story. We're all covered the same murder trial, the same event, the same council meeting, the same whatever. A lot more stories get covered now, and I think that's a good thing. Well, and the web, we do dozens a day on the web that don't even appear on television.
Well, and initially, I remember being when it came along. Well, I'm going to backtrack a little bit because you reminded me of something. I was at the Nashville Banner, right?
Sure.
We were the afternoon paper, so we printed in the morning, the Tennessee and the competition in the same building there at 1100 Broadway. And I remember if I had a story, and I broke quite a few during the 90s, and I would always check, see, at 10 o'clock,
Do they have it?
No. Yeah. And then at midnight, I would be down there
to see that
to see that paper come off at midnight to see if they had it.
Then you knew you beat them, and I got one.
And then I went to bed because I didn't. The other way around is that I didn't want to go get up with a phone call at 4 o'clock in the morning. Hey, Tennesseans got this. We got that.
We've got to push it forward. Yeah. And we got nothing.
But right now, and I've talked to Jim Wyatt. You
know, great guy. Hall of Famer. Loved his dad. Yeah.
Oh, but Judge Wyatt, amazing man. And we've talked about this before. Sort of ran him now. He's went to the dark side. You know, he's the Titans senior editor, reporter, whatever he does. He runs there.
He still does a good job.
Yeah, very good. But it's more of a 9-to-5 quote job. It's not. But I mean that you now have to put something out every moment of your life if you're a beat writer, news writer. I mean, you got to have that constant presence. What do you got? Give me something. Give me something. Give me something.
And they're looking on their phones for the, you know, the update, the text message, so they can read, you know, the thing. It's constant. It's exhausting. It's still fun, though. People still want to know stuff.
Yeah.
You know, one of our questions last night, question of the day, we always have one, in an effort to interact with our audience. The Titans, you know, had that new helmet, the new, you know, uniforms, the new color scheme. I say new, old.
Yeah.
What's old is new again.
I liked it, yeah.
Yeah. And so we asked people, do you like that? And got feedback on that. And hundreds of people, you'd be shocked. You think nobody's going to answer that. Hundreds of people, you know, weigh in on something silly like that. Just let us know, what do you think about the helmet and the throwback colors?
So people are still engaged, but in a different way.
They are. Boy, when you talk politics, you know, we're in the middle of a governor's race, and you're just kind of getting on down to that. And I interviewed the Democratic nominee for Governor Jerry Green out of Memphis last Friday. Thousands of people watched that interview, not only on television, but on YouTube, and another 1,000 people had something to say about it. And it was just the day after the election, kicking the tires. We didn't go to Memphis last week on Thursday because it was kind of a foregone conclusion that she was going to win that thing. But after Marsha, you know, Blackburn, you know, wins the Republican nomination, we kicked the tires on the Democrats. She's going to appear on the ballot. Who are you? What do you say? You want to debate Marsha? You think she will? You know, hoping she'll say something provocative that'll, you know, elicit a response on the other side. But I was shocked at how many people had something to say about it. I just, not only did thousands of people share it, you know, you look at that, and then there's another 1,000 people saying something about it. It's like, all right.
You know, and you have to be in it. I'm apolitical because I think the fringe, I'm not going to, my opinion, this is, you know, I think,
sure.
I think both parties are controlled by the fringes. And if anybody wants to, the days of Howard Baker and Ted Kennedy walking across the aisle, their own party would...
Lamar Alexander.
Yeah, their own party would ostracize them for reaching out. That's why I'm not big into politics. But with you, though, you've got to balance that, don't you?
I've interviewed two of the independent candidates in that race. A guy named Dave Hatley out of Johnson City.
So, but you have to have, even when you're...
Lauren Pinkston.
Even when you think one is better than the other, you got to play it down the middle.
Sure. And, you know, people think that's hard. It's really not. You and I grew up in the same kind of era, went to college, same place, both from, you know, relatively small towns in southern Kentucky. Although, compared to me, you came from the big city.
Oh, Bowling Green.
I'll just say it.
It is. It's right now. It's like everything else. It's
big
just
city.
Exploded.
But I never think I'm the smartest guy in the room. My job is just to provide information so that you might make an informed decision. I suspect most of my viewers are smarter than me. I'm the gopher.
You're the gatekeeper.
Go give me some information and feed it to me.
Yeah.
I don't have to tell you what to think about it. And, you know, some people criticize. I asked Jerry Green, are debates even important anymore? And some people got on the computer, well, you dumb SOB, Scott Couch, of course they're important. I didn't say they weren't. I just don't know if she thinks they are.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I think they are. Does that Jerry Green's younger than me by 20 years or so.
Yeah.
What does she think? What do young people think? I don't suppose I know. I ask. And then, you know, well, would you, you know, be willing to debate Marsha anytime, anywhere? Sure. And you just ask the question. And, it's fun to ask the questions. And you don't have to be a smart A-double-S to say that. Just ask the question. Play it down the middle. If you're going to hang yourself, all I'm giving you is an opportunity to hang yourself.
Yeah. Scott Couch is our guest. 101 with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb. We are at Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. Last hour, Prep Football Talk. 15th year of Prep Football Talk.
It's so
really
cool.
That is really something that's dear to
me. I often listen to this sort of thing on the way home. You guys do, you know, the Friday night show
Friday
after
night
the
stuff.
Game.
Yeah.
I've got a son in high school, my midnight life blessing. But on the way home from work on Friday nights, I am often tuned in just to see, you know, if White House beat somebody.
Yeah.
You know, Centennial knocked off whomever, and, you know, or what the Rutherford County schools are doing. You know, it's fun.
Well, last hour you heard a newbie, Marty Sexton, a good buddy. He has IEI inspection experts. And this is something I'm absolutely going to do. And we built our house like 25 years ago. I don't know if we've ever got looked at it or not. But if you're worried about mold or the air your family's breathing, don't figure it out alone. IEI can inspect the problem, explain what they find, help guide you to the right solution. Surface mold treatment, expert inspections, air quality, builders, the same one, big company capability, family company attention. Breathe easier, build smarter. Inspection experts, 615-506-8923. I want to clarify that that website, IEI Inc. .net. More with Scott Couch when we come up right here on 94.9. presented by Freeman Webb Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. Scott Couch, Fox 17 News anchor, four-time Emmy winner, AP Awards out the yin-yang. Glasgow Scotty?
Yep. You know, my folks moved from Lexington, Kentucky to small town Glasgow, about 9,000 people, when I was after my freshman year of high school, which is kind of a tough time for people to move. But those people were great to me. I love those kids. I keep up with so many of my high school classmates. And my wife talked, and who's also from Glasgow. And you went to, like, Central and Bowling Green?
We went Central.
And my wife and I says, your all's class is so much closer than ours. I love those kids, and I keep up with them, and we have reunions, and I go, and we have a great time. We sing, we dance, we hug, you know, and it's I love being from a small town. A lot of cool things happen for me that might not have ever happened because I was from a little bitty town in the middle of nowhere.
Tell me about your parents, family, brother, sister. Tell me.
I'm a second of five children. It was never about me. Well, it was for a couple of months there after, you know, my sister was born. But, yeah, and then me and my big sister Kelly helped Mom and Dad raise the other three who came along a decade after us.
Wow.
So my, I guess, young siblings were not even in grade school, and I'm moving off to college. And so we, you know, certainly grew up in different households, but I get to Glasgow, you know, regularly still. In fact, my wife and I were talking yesterday. We take little adventures on the weekends, like we're going to drive to some small town, eat whatever you got over there, and, you know, hang out. Like, say, I was in Clarksville 2 Sundays ago after church, checking things
Which
out.
No longer is little.
Oh, no. it's the second largest city in our viewing area.
It's bigger than Chattanooga.
Yeah.
Think of that.
It's a couple thousand bigger than Rutherford. Murfreesboro. People think, oh, Murfreesboro's bigger. No, it's not, by a couple thousand.
I know.
And I saw the arena where you guys play your games, thought about you. And it's so funny. Yeah. You called a few days later and invited me to this. And I was just thinking about you because I was up there.
Yeah. Where did this bug bite you?
High school.
It was radio that's where it started, right?
My father had a small electronics business in a little shopping center next to Kmart and a couple doors down from Begley's Groceries and the haircut place. And he sold stereos, you know, Pioneer, Akai, high-end audio, that sort of thing. If you bought a car or a radio for your car, you'd pay your money and park out back, and I was the one who put it in your car. So Dad had a speaker system in the business, and I would use my voice to say, you know, buy Maxell tapes or something like that to record your stuff on. Anyway, one of the local radio advertising executives was in one day and said, who's doing your ad there? I said, that's my son. He's in high school. Is he really? You think he would have any interest in working in radio? And I was
It WOVO? What was the?
Yes, WOVO.
Wow.
And I was working at a skating
rink. I can't
rink.
Remember what I had for breakfast, but I can remember WOVO.
This is your life, Scott Couch, and Greg Boga doing the voice track on it. But anyway, I started working overnights there at the little radio station when I was 16 years old, playing records for girls on the radio, and I had a great time. I love music, still do. Huge consumer of radio, always was. Never thought I'd get a chance to be on the radio. But because I was in some small town and somebody said something to my dad, a door got open, and I thought, man, maybe I could do this.
Yeah.
And then when I was in college, I started thinking, well, gosh, I'm getting older. I don't want to talk, you know, to play records for girls, you know, from high school for the rest of my life. What could I do? And we had, you know, hourly newscasts, which I would read, and I had to, you know,
what,
prepare.
WKYU or?
No, this is at WOVO.
Okay,
even
still WOVO,
that. Yeah, so anyway, I started writing stories, you know, that would wind up on the AP Wire, and I thought, man, that's cool. Went to Western, didn't know exactly what I wanted to
do. And that teletyped.
Yes, that was so cool. I'd rip that thing off. I've got a bunch of them saved. Yeah. And I thought that was so neat. And then I went to Western, and I learned how to write. And I thought that was so fun. People think I majored in broadcasting. I majored in print journalism like you did.
Mm-hmm.
I was already working in radio. Not that I knew everything, but I thought I did. You know, and so I just kind of parlayed, you know, what I learned in journalism to this television business. And when I was in college, we were watching Nashville TV. And somebody said, you need an internship. I said, what's that?
Mm-hmm.
And so I called Chris Clark on the phone in Nashville at Channel 5. And, you know, being from a small town, I'm naive. I don't even know if I can get the guy on the phone. Never occurred to me that I couldn't. That's something, being a small town, you think you can. I called. I hear somebody sort of press the old-fashioned phone to their chest. Clark, you got a phone call on line two. And the minute that the great man's on the telephone, I said, sir, I'm a fellow from a small town. I go to college in Bowling Green. I'd like to do what you do. What would a man do to do that? And he said, you need an internship. Well, I'd heard that. Please, who do I speak with about getting one of those? And Chris helped me get one. And
well, I've read a story, though. I was just reading up on you last night that he remembered it. I think this is the Tennessean wrote the story about
yes.
it. Yes. And that he remembered it, that you told him, I'm going to come take your job.
I'm ready. I, of course, would never have said that. Chris is gregarious.
Oh, well, but, Chris
I certainly
Clark.
Thought it.
Oh, my gosh.
I wanted it.
The and for us, our generation, but certainly you growing in, I mean, think of, every station I can name who I watch.
Dan
I mean,
and Fox, Demetria,
Fox,
Bill
Fox,
Hall.
Fox 17 wasn't on the air then.
Yeah.
And it was at Channel 4, it was Bill Hall, Demetria, Dan Miller. At Channel 5, it was Hope. And at 4, it was Rudy. And 2, it was Bob Mueller, good Lord.
And still is.
It still is, 40-something years later. So they, and you now, you either consciously and subconsciously, because we see you, you're woven into our fabric of who we are because you're on TV.
You know, people will say from time to time, and I'm a man of a certain age now, so it comes with the territory. In your mind, you're still a young fella. But, young girls will come up to me, or young women, mothers. I've been watching you since I was a little kid. And it's a great compliment, but it kind of makes you take stock. I've been around for a while. I remember when I was that kid and Chris Clark was, telling the funny story. I remember meeting Hope Hines for the first time and working with him and thought that was great. And, yeah, and now you're in your 60s, and there's more time in back of you than in front of you, but it's cool, and you appreciate when people say I watch you or I listen to you. I always say I appreciate it. That's how I feed my family, and when I say thank you, I mean it.
Scott Couch with us, Fox 17 News anchor. Get me from that internship to your first job, your first real TV job.
Well, I was in radio. I think I told you I worked 4 radio jobs before I got into television, including a brief stint at WKYU-FM doing cut-ins on Morning Edition. This is Morning Edition. You're listening to NPR, National Public Radio. So did that for a good bit while I was at WSM Radio, or while I was actually in college. WSM called at the journalism department at Western Kentucky University and said, we'd love to hire somebody that's got some writing background to work in our newsroom. At that time, radio news was a big deal. I was the last person on the 14-person radio news team. And after I'd done that for a while and was about to starve to death, I thought, gosh, maybe I could get one of these television jobs. And so I kept asking Channel 5 if they would be interested in hiring me, since we had a relationship which I had maintained throughout the years. And finally, they took mercy on me and gave me a job I was not qualified for, nor was I ready for, but I got up early and stayed late every day so that they would not regret giving me an opportunity. And that was my first opportunity. I worked for them for 14 years on air, left in 04, not because they mistreated me. I had an opportunity to make some more money, and you got to remember that's how you work. Went to Paducah to Kentucky for a couple of years, but getting that first job in television was a challenge. And like I say, I didn't deserve the opportunity because I never worked anywhere else other than Nashville television, and that's just not done.
In Western, did you have writer coach Jim Alzenbaugh?
Yes, yes. And Jim Hyland?
Jim Hyland was my actually, it's sort of weird. When I was in college, isn't about me, but I was like a junior, senior year in college, I became the assistant sports editor for Clark Haynes. Remember Clark Haynes?
Yep.
And I was a full-time, and so I had two of my teachers – I were their boss.
And so, after you got out. How cool was that?
No, while I was still taking their class.
No, that's
funny. They were part-time.
Okay.
But Jim Hyland wrote for us. He covered racing out of Beach Bend and all that. So it was really weird assigning my teachers stories.
Stories.
Yeah, and so I made good grades.
You know,
Alzenbaugh, one thing he taught me, and it was clutter is the disease of the American language. And that has stuck with me.
You remove the word "that" from every story you ever wrote?
Yeah. just clutter. Yeah. Don't need it.
You mentioned Jim Hyland. When I moved back to Kentucky to take the main anchor job at because I was working the weekends at Channel 5, and this is, 20, some odd years ago, Paducah called, and I thought, I'd love to have that opportunity to, kind of move up. Well, I ended up moderating a gubernatorial race. Of course, I've been away from Kentucky for 20, years at that point, and feel very unqualified to ask gubernatorial candidates this, that, and the other. Who do I reach out to? My old friend Jim Hyland in Bowling Green. Jim, give me an education on what's been going on in, you know, Kentucky politics for the last couple of decades, and help me prepare for this debate. And still friends with his daughter, Debbie, who used to work at the Tennessee, and also small world. But all those people that poured into you, golly, I've got so many people to thank and be grateful for, and you just mentioned a couple of names.
Yeah.
Bob Adams, I used to rent from him. Rented from him when I was living in Bowling Green.
And, of course, he always worked the basketball and football games. Yeah, Bob, I mean, that was our core, and we're very lucky, quite frankly, to have, because Western Kentucky at that time still is, but that time was one of the top 10 journalism schools in the country. And, you know,
they produced people who worked.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't an esoteric exercise. This is how you do it. My wife and I talk sometime. Writing is a craft. You get better by doing it. I'm so delighted that you've got a master's degree from the Medill School of Journalism at Northwestern, but you don't know how to do.
Now, what can you do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't know how to do anything I know how to do.
Yeah.
You know, and you've never worked anywhere. You've been in college for 6 years, but you've never had a job. I worked my way through college. I was working the whole time.
Yeah.
And applying my craft and getting better at it. And I think you can learn a lot by watching great people like yourself, how they do things. Man, you've been a broadcaster forever, too. For an old radio, newspaper
guy.
Well,
you know, I don't know if I'm a newspaper guy doing radio or a radio guy who wrote newspapers.
Well, you've always kind of done both.
Yeah, just because it's all I know how to do.
Did you do it in college, too?
Oh, yeah. I was already, like I said, I was in college already at a full-time job while I was in college.
No, I meant the radio thing. I didn't know if you did some of that.
Natural 97. Remember that? Rock station up there. We had an appreciation.
I drove past that station the other day.
Oh, Lord. I actually thought I was going to be a concert promoter. We were doing Appreciation Fest every year. And anyway,
what a great job that would have been.
Yeah, that's where I thought I was headed.
Yeah. Did you know Jim Spann in college?
Yeah,
because he was into that sort of thing.
This is memory lane here. Let's
yeah.
Well, we've got Scott to Paducah. Let's get him to Nashville back in a minute. We'll do that in just a minute. It is one-on-one with Greg Pogue, strolling down memory lane with our fellow Hilltopper here, Scott Couch, news anchor at Fox 17. All of this on 94.9 The Fan. Now 2 hours prep football talk from 9 to 10. Coach Bubba Spears, myself, and Craig Ladd, and then 101 with Greg Pogue, Scott Couch, Fox 17 News anchor as well. Let me tell you first about it. I got to tell you about the Boulevard Bar and Grill. Love this place. Jeff Debel, my good buddy, a new daddy for the first time. Happy for Jeff. Boulevard at Murfreesboro.com. Great lunch, dinner. Specials, the lunch specials, amazing. $10 for lunch specials. You can't go to McDonald's for $10.
Who does that anymore?
Yeah, and so also they have on the patio, they have a doggy menu. You can actually bring your dog.
Nice.
And you can order off. It's not Alpo. They give them, you know,
good
chicken.
Stuff.
Yeah, food, everything but that. And it's also where Chip Walters, the voice of the Blue Raiders, he does the MTSU football and men's basketball coaches show. I do the women's basketball play-by-play now with Matt Insel. And I do the coaches show there, the women's coaches show. But Tay and Leah, the general manager, just great people. And if you want to know, that's my Murfreesboro hang.
What do they serve?
Everything. Pizzas, you know, their wings are amazing. Steaks. They have mahi-mahi. It's a very eclectic menu. And they also have 2J's down there. It's right off campus, right there, right across the street from the main
I love those unique places just like that. I think I told you, and I can't remember if we were on air or not, but my wife and I go to towns all around Nashville all the time just to eat at unique little places down there, shop at, you know, the local places, just to kind of get around the viewing area. You got to get out.
Yep. You're in Paducah now. How'd you get to Nashville? What was after? Was it Paducah back to Nashville?
Yeah, I was up there for 3 years and a month. Normally, a television contract for an anchorman runs 3 years. I went to Paducah just an opportunity to grow my career. It's so funny. When I told Channel 5 I was leaving, they offered me a 5 o'clock. They offered to move me up Monday through Friday for their 5 o'clock co-anchor every day. But I thought, you know, I've been here for 14 years, and in our business, the only way you make any money is if you say how much, not if you keep staying, because they get to tell you how much. So I thought, I'm going to bet on myself. I took less money to go than they offered me to stay. While I was in Paducah, a Knoxville station called, WBIR, and they wanted me to come down there. And I said, well, I promised these guys in Paducah I'd be here 3 years, and the contract was very weak. I could have walked out on it, but you know, I said, if my word's no good to the man in Paducah, why would my word be any good to you? I've got to stand by my word. So I stayed. And then the next year, Fox called and said, hey, would you want to come back to Nashville? We've got an English-speaking guy that we hired to get on the air because it was novel. But we're thinking about making a move. And I said, well, I'd love to come back, but I still got another year on my contract here. And, again, if my word's no good to this man, why would my word be good to you? So for the second time, I've got to say thank you for asking, but I got to honor my word. And so anyway, the following year, they signed that guy, Ashley Webster, to a year extension. And then they brought me in, and that was 20 years ago, and I hope they have not regretted making that move, and I continue to serve people. And folks think, well, you're working for, you know, a left-leaning station or a right-leaning station. I'm the same guy all the time. I'm old-fashioned. I'm playing it right down the middle. You may think you're hearing right-wing news. That's not what I do. And I don't do left-wing news either. I give you the information, and you're smart. Remember, you're smarter than me. All I got to do is provide you the information. I've always played it right down the middle. Don't take political positions. And I have a political show that airs weekly. Two Democratic guests, two Republican guests. I ask the questions, and I allow everybody to weigh in. Everybody but me.
Yeah.
But I got opinions. Don't get me wrong. I just don't get to share them.
Yeah. it seems it's easier that way, I would imagine, too. So how did you get to Fox 17?
Well, they called while I was in Paducah and asked me if I would come, and I said I can't come now. So they waited for a year, and they signed me to a contract. It's so funny because I talked to Channel 4 the same day that I talked to Fox on that day. There was, news director at that time, and this goes back 20 years. And 4 called and said, hey, we'd like to talk to you about maybe coming back to Nashville to work for us. And then Fox called again and said, and I said, well, I'm coming to Nashville next Wednesday to talk to Channel 4, and I'd be glad to meet with you after. And Fox offered me that day. So that one worked out okay.
Fox is owned by Sinclair Broadcast Group, correct?
Huge company, yes.
Yeah. How many TV stations, approximately?
160?
Yeah.
Something like that, maybe more.
But and they're
all flavors.
They're ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, right?
They own them all.
The misnomer that, well, you're Fox. Well, you hear Fox News Network, you think one side like CNN and the other. That's just
people think we're owned by Fox, and it's like, no. It's just when I worked at CBS, we aired CBS programming in the evening, but CBS didn't tell us what to do. We run Fox programming in the evening, and we share news that we get, but they don't tell us what to do editorially. The company that I work for, I will tell you, though, they have a conservative bent. They do. Any objective view of that would be that way. But, yes, Sinclair owns a bunch of TV stations, and they're headquartered in Baltimore. You mentioned MyTV30, which airs a lot of sports stuff.
Yeah.
We own that. Runs out of our building, and, yeah.
In 58?
Yeah. We don't own one of those. We own two of them, and the other one, like, is owned by you, and we just program it and operate it, but I don't even know you.
Right.
And
it allows you to brand. I mean, like, MyTV 30, I mean, that's a high school football game of the week. I think we mentioned it earlier on the last hour, Thursday and Saturday, the high school game of the week on MyTV 30.
Love those. And it's cool. Yeah. They shoot those with our stuff and air them out of our station, and often talent from, our station is helping to get those on the air and, running the halftime stuff and doing the giveaways. And so we're a big supporter of high school sports. And, our guys kind of pioneered that. And we're lucky to, like you guys, to have sponsors who allow us to do that because there is an appetite for it.
Scott Couch with us here on 101 with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb. He is the news anchor at Fox 17. One thing that I do like in the mornings, I'm a night owl. Okay, I watch you from 9 to 10.
Me too.
You can't turn it off, right? You get off there.
I go home around 2 a.m. I try to get to bed by 2 a.m. Yeah. every morning.
But with that, the fact that 7 to 9 with Justin McFarland, my buddy Justin.
Yeah, you guys did stuff.
Yeah, and great guy, and I've known him a long time when he got started. And I'm drawing a blank. The sweetheart of a lady, good Lord,
Jennifer Waddell.
Yeah,
in the
Jennifer.
Morning.
Yeah, I can't believe I couldn't think of Jennifer. Jennifer Waddell. That's a unique spot because while everybody goes to network and has local feels, you guys have 2 hours to yourself every morning, 7 to 9.
And those are our two strongest hours because, it used to be everybody came on. Well, first of all, nobody used to do, morning news. And then, they started coming on at 6. And then somebody said, let's come on at 5:30 and then 5 and 4. It's like, good Lord, you know. So, yeah. You know, they're on the crack of dawn. I'm not sure who they are talking to, but they're on. But, yeah, those last 2 hours are really good for us locally, and I think that's cool. And I'd like to personally see us, you know, take over the 9 to 10 hour, because I think more people are up moving around and listening to at that time than they are at 4 a.m., my opinion.
Yeah, I turn off Kelly and whatever. She gets on my nerves. Anyway, just
got to go. And her husband, Mark.
Yeah, oh, I can't. It's like on the chalkboard, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about your day. Give me a normal Thursday. You just mentioned you don't get to bed till sleep till 2 in the morning. Give me your work day.
Now, you're going to think this is crazy. I've still got a son in high school. He now, just this year, his senior year, is not having to go in until 8:30, which is kind of cool. So, but usually I would get up at 7, get the boy off to school, because if I don't, I don't get to see him, and then go back to bed.
Yeah.
I try to be up again by 9. I don't require as much sleep as some people. My wife, who's almost as old as I am, went to high school and college with her, but she likes to see me a little bit, so we hang out in the morning, always have lunch together, and then I leave the house around 1:15. And, you know, do the newscasts and write and get back home about 11:30 at night.
And a daughter?
I have a daughter who's grown. She and her husband are coming over for dinner tonight. When I got home last night, my wife informed me I'm grilling today.
There you go. So, well, hey, you've
got children. I don't have any grandchildren yet, but my daughter and her husband are coming over, and I'm promising not to ask them when we're going to have a grandbaby.
Yeah.
I never ask.
Oh, I don't either. My wife takes up for that, and the other grandmother. She needs another one, two or three. It
hadn't been too long since you had one.
Yeah, 2.5. It'll change you. And when I walked into that hospital and saw my baby girl holding her baby girl, I lost it. I mean, yeah. It's something
kind of cool.
Dana, you said you. How did you propose? Give me the proposal.
You know, this is funny. My wife doesn't even remember our proposal. You know.
Wow.
So I guess it was pretty anticlimactic. But I got a better story.
All right.
I married my wife when she was right out of college. I mean, she graduated college and moved into my tiny one-bedroom apartment at Polo Park over in Donelson about a minute later. But when we met, I had just moved to Glasgow, Kentucky after my freshman year of high school, and a neighbor of mine had invited me to a ball game. And we drove down to Scottsville, Allen County, Scottsville, the Patriots.
The Patriots.
So anyway, he, you know, in the back seat of the car was his girlfriend, who's now my wife, and me, and his parents, who was my scoutmaster, driving. Anyway, so I met my wife when she was dating my neighbor. I let it cool off for about 5 years, but I'd always thought she was a nice, you know, girl from a nice family. And I'm already working in Nashville, and she runs into my sister in Bowling Green at Lowe's. And says, hey, tell Scott I said hello. I thought it meant something. She assures me it meant nothing other than trying to be polite. So I called her while I was working down here and asked her out, and we got married a year later. I asked her parents for her hand in the old-fashioned way, and my recollection is that I asked her to marry her at her home. On bended knee with gloves on, so it must have been cold. But outdoors near this bush that had some cherry things on it. It was, you know, like I say, so memorable my wife doesn't even recall, but I promise we did get married.
Yeah. How many years?
It'll be, 38 and change.
Wow. So you got married in 90... 88. Guess what year I got married?
89?
88.
Oh, look at you, son.
88.
Son. So we got married in May.
Yeah.
21st.
September 4th.
All right.
That's September 4th. I can tell a joke. This is my show. September 4th. My wife hates this. These are true, though. The September 4th of 1986, our first date. September 4th of 1987 in Gatlinburg, I proposed. September 4th of 1988, we got married.
You just did that so you wouldn't forget.
And then September 4th of 1989, we had sex.
Oh.
So, you know, there you go.
But
all right, let's go.
Did you marry Bowling Green lady?
Brown Edmondson. She was a cheerleader on Bobo Davenport's Edmondson County State Championship
team. Okay, I know
what
you're talking about.
Yeah.
Did she go to Western?
Yes. Yep.
Very cool. Well, we both married over our heads.
I know.
Married up.
Yep. So she hates when I tell that joke. Anyway. There's one other idea.
Yeah, my wife's not listening. She's hearing impaired, or she would hate most of the
stories. Well, and I get another one, and whenever you get asked to speak to civic groups, right?
Sure.
And so I would always say, you know, I'm originally from Bowling Green, so then I moved down here to go to work, blah, blah, blah. And I said, one thing I had to learn, I said, if you get married in Kentucky, and then you move to Tennessee and get a divorce, are you still considered brother and sister?
Oh, but I'm bummed.
She hates that, too. Oh. All right, let's take a break.
Tough room.
We're off the rails. I told you we would get off the rails. Thank you.
That's why I'm here.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back and wrap it up with Scott Couch in just a few. Got a few more moments with Scott Couch, Fox 17 News Anchor 101 with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb. And our two-hour Saturday morning extravaganza is off and running every 9 o'clock now here on 94.9 from Roy's Prep Football Talk with Coach Bubba Spears, Craig Ladd, myself. We just kicked off our 15th season. And, Scott, with the selfie here, you're all over these selfies, aren't you?
Actually, I'm horrible at this. I'll tell you a quick story.
Dane. He could take a photo here.
I was downtown. Get one of us.
Yeah.
The older I get, the more I appreciate having little memories like this. Like I say, you and I have been friends for decades.
Yep.
I don't think – look over there. I don't think there's any pictures of us. Now, you got to take your finger out from in front of the what you call it.
Yeah. we'll get it out front. I don't trust Dane at all.
I ran into Tom Hanks downtown, and I was covering something his wife's involved in, talking to him. Anyway, I was trying to take a picture of it. He said, let me do it. I said, thank you. I'm horrible at this. You know, famous movie star taking a picture.
Come here, give me that. Yeah.
Yes, because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm terrible at that.
20 years next year.
Yep.
At Fox 17, and we started the show talking about that. You think sometime how long, is there an exit plan? But if you're still having fun, why?
You know, I always tell people at some point I'm going to be too old, too fat, too ugly, too expensive, too something, and they'll run me off. And when that day comes, I will be grateful for what has been a great run. I'll say thank you, and I'll try to leave with some level of class the way I think I came in.
What will you do?
You know, that's a thing. I do think about that because I don't know that I'm going to be great sitting around the house. I do think about, you know, hobbies, you know, what can I do maybe to generate some income. But I don't know that I would ever be satisfied not broadcasting in some way or writing. You know, would I drop down to some county level and just cover their city council meetings because I know how to do that and, you know, get to the heart of the matter of what's important and tell my neighbors? I might.
Well, I quit writing. Per se, you still write, obviously, but I mean,
not for a living in
the newspaper industry. But I've got 14 hobbies that pay me money.
Not like that,
you know. So that there's in today also there's so many.
I'll call Greg and say, if you ever need me, Greg, I have some free time.
The blind leading the blind right there. You do think about that, don't you? What is there is a takeaway? I'm not putting the curtain, closing it right
now.
But in what your career, what is your takeaway in a sentence?
For me, it was never about me.
Yeah.
It was always about you. If I'm not serving you or if I wasn't serving you or didn't serve you, then I failed. And I hope I didn't.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't have a humongous ego. I don't think anybody should know my name. If I served you, it's like, you know, the restaurants. If you had a nice meal and you appreciated being served and you had a good time, that's it. It's not about me.
Well, and you'll keep coming back.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. If keep the focus on the customer. I mean, I've always seen myself as a public servant. It's not about being a star. I was never in that end of the television business where I feel like everybody knew my name. But if I served you, then I succeeded.
I've enjoyed this. Parker, you can get that music bed rolling anytime. Parker Kelly, another great job. As a matter of fact, I can't tell a lie. I woke up this morning, forgot I had 2 hours.
What am I going to do?
Fill. That blur coming up I-24, that was me.
That was you.
That was me. Anyway, thanks, bud.
Thanks for having me on.
We've known each other for, 30, 40 years.
At least. Yeah. Longer than either of us care to admit.
We've overcome our shortcomings.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Parker, great job of you. Hey, the Metro High School football game of the week, Friday night on 102.5 The Game, NBA at Pearl Cone. Doesn't get any better than that. Everybody, thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your day.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.